Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, overnight, the US President Donald Trump welcomed moves from the EU to accelerate trade talks in a bid to avert the 50% trade tariffs, which he threatened earlier this month. But Ireland is one of a handful of countries, alongside France and Spain and Belgium, pushing for a swift EU trade deal with the United States. But are we being bounced into concessions because of that? Or is it wiser to give President Trump the quick win than risk further damaging transatlantic trade? Well, for more on this, I'm joined from Brussels by EU correspondent with the Financial Times, Andy Bounds. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you very much for joining us. Is there a division, do you think, emerging between countries like Ireland and some others who want to cut a deal with Donald Trump, and then those, on the other hand, who want to stand up to him and really assert European sovereignty?
I think there is a division. I have to say, I think the camp with Ireland in it is probably the bigger at the moment. There doesn't seem to be huge appetite at the moment to retaliate. I think they're hoping they can cut a deal. I think originally the EU was hoping that the markets would convince Donald Trump. You know, the stock market would go down, the dollar would weaken. That kind of happened at the beginning. But now they're sort of recovering in the expectation that he's going to get his deals. The UK, of course, was first out the traps. So that sort of discipline on him isn't working. And therefore, I think the EU is now looking at further concessions to try and make sure that these tariffs don't return, or the 50% doesn't come in July.
And it's been fascinating to watch the Italian Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, emerge as this Trump whisperer, somebody who the EU was very wary of when she was first elected because she was viewed to be anti-EU, anti-establishment, far right. Now she's a bridge between the EU and the United States.
Yeah, she's had quite a remarkable transformation. I mean, she very much plays the game at EU level. Is a good centrist European, very close to the Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. And of course, it emerged that Meloni it was who phoned Trump after he woke up one morning and threatened these 50% tariffs and convinced him to talk to von der Leyen, who then, you know, convinced him that, yes, the EU would start playing ball, would accelerate its talks and get a deal. So, yeah, she has been crucial. Of course, she's very much aligned with Ireland on not wanting any tariffs if at all possible.
So what is she saying then to Ursula von der Leyen? Give him what he wants?
I wish I knew. we don't unfortunately get direct calls from her. But no, certainly she's on that line, right? I mean, she is a fellow traveller in a sense, right? A nationalist politician. So she sympathises with Trump's view that, you know, basically trade is there to, to boost yourself, not to boost the people that you trade with. So I think, but she's very much aware that, you know, Italian industry is hugely exposed. I mean, Italy up there with Ireland is one of the biggest, you know, exporters to the US. And of course, a lot of it is, you know, is cars, but also wine and cheese and Parmesan and so on. And she's very anxious to protect those exports because the Italian economy is, you know, not in terrific shape.
Mm-hmm. When Donald Trump came out with that threat of 50%, he seemed really frustrated with the EU. You know, the negotiations are going nowhere. What does that say about the European Union's strategy in those talks?
Well, we've heard this word a lot of strategic patience, you know, which was, again, I think this hope that if you keep him talking, eventually the markets will correct him, you know, and he'll think, I can't actually put these tariffs on, it's unaffordable. We saw a bit of that with China, you know, where China retaliated and then he sort of backed down because the stock market was going crazy. Walmart was going to put up prices. So the EU approach has been to use its sort of, you know, it's quite a slow moving machine anyway, right? Because you've got to consult with 27 member states. They've been trying to use that to their advantage and say, well, look, we're moving as fast as we can, Mr. President. But, you know, Trump is not a man who's particularly patient.
Yeah.
So he's cracked the whip. And indeed, you know, the EU has decided to move a bit quicker.
Because the New York Times said that the Europeans have been approaching this as though they're reasoning with an ally. But the Trump administration sees this as a chance to pressure who they see as a commercial rival into making concessions. So the approach is different. Therefore, that might explain why nobody's getting anywhere.
Yes, indeed. I mean, he doesn't like the EU for two reasons. One, he doesn't like a supranational entity, you know, which he sees as oppressing people's sovereignty, a bit like the Brexiters. But also, he doesn't like something that's as big as him, right? You know, the population is bigger than the US, the economy is bigger than the US. So in theory, it can stand up to the US. But obviously, it's also divided 27 ways, and people have different views. So I think he's you know, he's actually looking to divide and rule a little bit in the EU and maybe getting some of the way there, you know. Mm-hmm.
He only sees, it seems, and he has said this time and again, we remember him back on Liberation Day with his little chart, and the references were all to the goods that are sold into the United States. They're still not recognising the trade deficit that the EU has with the US when it comes to services. That's not on his agenda, is it?
No, that's right. I mean, it's very much what, you know, what he can touch and feel. It's the steel makers of Pennsylvania who cares about not the tech, you know, I mean, cares about the tech industry regulation, but, you know, he doesn't see the exports of Airbnb or Facebook, you know, all the money Europeans spend with those platforms as a kind of trade issue. It's purely about goods. We, you know, the EU has this massive surplus in goods, but as you say, overall, I think it's about 50 billion, you know, if you take services into account. Now, the EU is trying to bridge that gap and say to him, look, we can buy 50 billion worth of things from you, but that's not enough for him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned there, you know, the reliance on strategic patience and perhaps the US bond markets changing his tack here. Is that still the strategy, do you think, from the EU, given what we have seen with him flip-flopping on these threats up to now?
Yeah, I think it's very much, you know, the strategy that they've run out of road a little bit on that, right? You know, the sort of decision time has come quicker than they expected because this July 9th deadline is looming. And obviously, originally, the tariffs were going to go up to 20%. Now Trump is talking about 50%. Well, you can calculate whether he really means it or not. But do you want to find out? Mm-hmm. You know, because 50% tariffs on everything is going to cause huge problems. You know, and as we saw, we already had this huge surge in exports from Ireland, right, in sort of January, yes. February, just when the 20% was coming. So, you know, imagine what's going to happen if 50% appears to be coming.
And do you get the sense, Andy, and we have seen the 150 billion euro defence fund now that the EU has made available to member states, that this is really diversifying alliances, resulting in the EU building up defences, as we say, manufacturing as well, and shifting the axis away from and the view towards the United States when it comes to defence. Is that the reality of what's happening in the EU?
Yeah, I mean, they're very much aware that they're vulnerable because of the defence guarantee, right? And because of the Ukraine situation. There's great nervousness that Trump will start to link some of the trade stuff to defense and say, well, why are my troops in Europe if you're ripping me off on trade? It hasn't really come to that yet, but there's obviously a nervousness, and the idea is to try and build up these domestic defense industry while keeping the US sweet enough to keep it committed, you know, until you can do without it, because we're still a long way away from being able to do without it.
Is there acknowledgement that maybe he was right on the defense question all along? You know, saying why is the United States paying all this money for defense when the likes of Germany sit back somewhat?
Well, yeah, not just Germany, dare I say. I mean, Ireland's defence spending per head is not particularly high. But, you know, I mean, I think, yeah, it's very much true that the Europeans have been free riders on US defence guarantee. And he had made this point in his first term and he wasn't really listened to. And, you know, he's making it again. And I think this time it will be. I mean, there's a NATO summit in June where probably countries will be asked to spend 5%, you know, on defence, not just 2% as they have been for, you know, currently.
And Andy, there's this news this morning that there's a US Senate initiative to impose 500% tariffs on any country that purchases Russian energy. I mean, let's go all in on tariffs here. But the intention of this is to ramp up pressure on Vladimir Putin over Ukraine. But that move could have very widespread consequences, couldn't it, for European countries who are still reliant on Russian gas?
That's right. There's an awful lot of liquefied natural gas coming in from Russia, even though, you know, a lot of the pipeline gas has been turned off. I have to say, I mean, this is a Senate bill which has to get through the Senate first, and then Trump will have to sort of actually implement it. It's very unclear what his view on Russian sanctions are. Again, he flip-flops. You know, one day he's threatening, you know, merry hell, and the next day he's sort of saying Putin's a great guy and, you know, we'll give him what he wants. So I think that one is worried maybe down the track. Let's worry about the 50% before the 500%.
Exactly. And as you said a little earlier, the date is fast approaching now and it's 50%, not 20%. Do we know what he wants?
Oh, he wants us to buy more of his stuff, right? Mm-hmm. He wants us to buy his cars. He wants us to buy his food. He wants us to buy his steel. And some of these products, of course, are kept out not by tariffs but by standards.
Yeah.
And therefore that's going to be the next thing he'll be pushing for.
Yeah. And do you get the sense that there is movement coming from the EU on those asks?
I think there is. They are willing now maybe to go places that they weren't originally. The question is, how far do you push the EU up against the wall before they hit back? We have got one package of tariffs approved. It's only 21 billion worth of goods. There's another in the works, which could be 95 billion euros of goods, which would cause some pain to the US. But the calculation the Americans are making at the moment is that the EU is not really wishing to inflict that level of pain on itself, because tariffs, as we know, cause pain to your own economy and to your own shoppers.
Andy, thank you very much. And it's great to talk to you. Andy Bounds there, Financial Times EU correspondent. Coming up next, the first online census is on the way, but are future generations going to miss the romanticism of seeing our handwriting?
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.